Miracles of Today, Chapter 12, Episode of the Used Car Lot. It has been wrongly stated that no man can see God and live. But I say unto you that no man can see God and continue to live as he has lived. Nor yet can any man live according to the divine plan and not see God. Brother Bill. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:2. He which is of God, he hath seen the Father. St. John 6:46. Then what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? St. John 6:62. Out on the Pacific coast, I had a seeming condition with my car, which not only did not respond to continuous decrees, but did not respond to mechanical work either. I finally decided to trade it for a new car. I talked to several dealers, and one made a proposition which sounded reasonable. I told him I would think over his proposition, and if it seemed advisable, I would return in the morning. "What is your name and address?" the dealer asked. "No matter," I replied. "You won't have to chase me, nor sell me against my will, for if my mind is settled on this car, I shall be here and the deal can be closed tomorrow morning." So saying, I left the dealer's place and returned to my hotel. That evening, my car failed me just as I was crossing the Pacific Electric tracks. The motorman of the train saw me in time to stop, or there would have been an accident. That settled it, and I took it up with the presence that night before going to bed. If the proposition is changed, I shall know that you do not want me to have that car. But if, on the other hand, great presence of life, you do want me to have the car, then see that the deal remains as quoted, that the figures are not changed one penny. The next morning, I saw the owner of the car agency. "Hello there," he called in greeting. "I want to see you. Let's go into my office." "Do you know, I made a mistake on your car. I thought yours was of a later model, but if you want our car, I'll stick to my figures and the deal is on." The deal was quickly made, and then he asked me, "Say, you've got something and I'd like to know what it is. What is your belief, anyway?" I explained that my belief was that Jesus had told the truth, that his belief was mine, and that I believed in his words. "How does it work?" he asked. Again, I explained as best I could in a few words. "Will it sell cars?" he asked. "Oh, yes, the law can be used to sell cars." And I explained my decree of the previous night, that the deal be not changed one iota. "Your first words to me were that you would not change the deal, that you'd stick to your figures. So you see, it works. Will you help me sell my used cars? I have a whole car lot overflowing with them." It must be remembered that this episode took place in 1938 and that the used car situation now in 1947 is very different. I promised to help him if he would ask God for help in the sale of those cars. "Do not be afraid to ask," I warned him. "God knows who can buy 100 cars as easily as most folks can buy one. Ask, and you shall receive." "Okay, I'll do it," he assured me. That night I talked to the presence about the cars and asked that he direct the perfect buyer or buyers to the car lot, that they buy them at the perfect prices at the perfect time. Next day I left to conduct a class elsewhere, and when I returned several days later, I noted that the car lot was empty. I saw my friend the owner, and in reply to my question, "What happened?" he said, "Oh, some fellow came in from the Hawaiian Islands who wanted the entire batch, and I sold them." "Did you get the right price?" "Oh, yes," he replied. "The price was very fair for what cars remained. Quite a few were sold before he made up his mind. He looked at cars in several cities before he returned, and what's more, he paid cash." So once again, the law of life prevailed.